Blog Talk Radio.
Life in me. pass on. I'm seeing past that. Bittersweet wine, where your glass at? Toast, you haters are ghosts. I make y'all sick, you need a full dose. Every mama told me do me and stay away from that fruit tree.
Miss Betty Wright and Lil Wayne. Love it. I mean, really, that high note, though, Miss Wright, really? I was practicing that, like, all day, you know? I shattered a few glasses, a few mirrors and windows, I must say. No, I'm just kidding. That didn't happen. I don't even have the vocal range. But the next time we follow up with Miss Wright, I'll definitely be trying to, like, you know, demonstrate some of my skills, you know, because I was just always amazed how she can just blow like that. It's amazing. I love, love Miss Betty Wright. So, you know, I guess I gave it all away. That's who we're in tune with tonight, Miss Betty Wright. So for all those who are not familiar with Miss Betty Wright, let's just say, you know, that song, Clean Up Woman, tonight is the night, and no pain, no gain. Like, really? Really, though. If you're not in tune with those songs, you need to hurry and run to Google search and put in Betty Wright, because she's just amazing on so many levels. And I just feel blessed once again, and as always, to be able to have the honor, the privilege to be able to talk to her tonight. So I'm excited, and I can't wait. So for all those who want to call in to talk to Ms. Wright, then definitely do so, because I love interactive shows. 818-495-6975, and you'll be live with Miss P and Miss Wright. So, in the meantime and around time, as I always say, for all those who are tuned in for the first time, I just want to say welcome. And for all those who continue to support the Intune show day after day, night after night, tweet after tweet, repost after the repost, and just referral after referral, I just want to say I love you, love you, love you, and this is all about you guys, because without you, none of this is possible. So while we waited for the amazing, the phenomenal, the songstress, the songwriter, the entrepreneur, Miss Betty Wright, to give us a call in, let's get in tune with some more of her music, because I'm saying she's really doing the damn thing. And, you know, it's just so many awesome ones. I just didn't know which way to go with it. So I'm going to play one that I really like. And I think this is kind of the sequel, but she can come on and correct me if I'm wrong, to her hit Tonight's the Night. I think this is the sequel to Tonight Again by Miss Betty Wright. So tune in and let me know what you think about it.
Don't know what to do with you when you leave them. Tell me how you can't live without.
Come Back by Miss Betty Wright. So I told you guys I was playing Tonight again, but my system just decided to play, you know, Baby Come Back, which is also an awesome song. So you just can't lose when it comes to her music, in other words, period. So I'll be getting you guys in tune with Tonight again before our broadcast is over. But Miss Wright is currently in tune with us, and I'm just so excited that I'm going to bring her on right now without further ado. Good evening, Miss Wright. How are you?
Hey, I'm blessed. And how are you, sis?
I am about to go into groupie mode. Like, excuse me for, like... I'm so honored, and I don't even know what to say. Like, I have butterflies all over. I love you so much, and I'm so grateful that you took the time to get in tune with me today. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going to stop now. I'm going to stop. I normally
You were trying to play Tonight again, and you played Baby Come Back. Oh, well, maybe somebody needed to hear it, see.
I don't believe
in, you know, like accidents or coincidence, it just wasn't meant to be. So, baby,
yes, definitely.
Back. Somebody need to come back.
Definitely, like Miss P, she needs to come back because I'm so in groupie mode right now. I don't even know how I'm going to go through this whole, you know, conversation. Let me just say that.
If not,
awesome.
I'll just go ahead and interview you.
Yes, please do. You know, take the tension off of me, you know, because I'm just, like, thrilled right now beyond belief. So we're going to just jump right into it. So for all those getting in tune with Miss Wright for the first time, how would you describe yourself to first-time listeners?
Wow. I think I would describe myself as I think I'm everybody's mama. So listen anyway. Through whatever it is, and you might learn something.
Absolutely, because I'm learning. I follow your tweets, so I'm definitely getting in tune. You know, I really like the one that you put, the little boy was singing to you. the little 18 months, I think he was.
Oh, my goodness, yeah, and I had to count again. He really is 17 months old. Singing, God is a good God, yes, he is. God is a good guy, yes, he is. And then threw his hands up and said, hallelujah. Yes.
That is beautiful. So, you know, yes, I'm learning. And like you said, you know, people need to get in tune. If a 17-month child can praise him, so can we. So that's
yeah,
what I got out of that.
That's the way that if we start out right, we can end up right.
Definitely. So I played your track, Grapes on a Vine. And can you tell us a little bit about your inspiration for that?
Well, the inspiration for the song Grapes on a Vine was barely, it was barely a thought before the whole melody came to me. And I wanted to write a legacy song, but I didn't know how to approach it. And I just gotten off the phone with, I think it was Lenny Kravitz. And we were talking about the loss of family. And he had, of course, many losses, tragic loss of his mom, then his father, then his grandfather that helped raise him. And he was saying something to the effect of, like, not having anyone. And I was reminding him, you have all of us. You got all of the Bahamas, and you certainly have Florida, you know, if you have no one else. I said, and then you got your fans. And I think it was just one of those moments for him. And that's why I kind of dedicate that song to Lenny, and I dedicate it to Whitney, because at the time of writing it, I believe it was right when Whitney had lost her father, somewhere around the same time when Lenny was having death in his family. And I wanted it to be a duet, but of course in this great world that we live in, sometimes things don't happen the way we want them to happen, and I ended up singing the song, but if you notice, it has a very influenced guitar part, so it was more so a song where I wanted to say, we may not turn out like our parents, but we're still okay. You know, they're all different types, and when I use grapes on a vine, don't always make sweet wine. Might be bitter, but it gets better with time. Even though I've never even sampled wine, I've heard people say there's some sweet, there's some sweeter, and then there's some that's almost like tart. So I believe that each of us may seem crazy to somebody else, but we have to be true to ourselves. And I think the point comes across because the things that your mom tells you, the things that your father tells you, you try to follow them as closely as you can. But in the end, the result is whatever you really are has to come through, too. It's not just genetic. It's also experience. So whatever you go through will shape your life, too. So you're still okay. Everybody is unique.
Absolutely. And I think that's very powerful and profound. And, you know, what inspired the Lil Wayne portion of it all?
Well, the Lil Wayne has been a part of my life for maybe, what, 15, 16 years almost. So when I thought of having Lil Wayne rap on it was just the fact that I wanted this rock guitar sound. And I said, wow, you know, Lil Wayne has his guitar now, and he wants to play, and he's really, really into that sound. And I said, if I had anything for him to rap on at all, which we were doing what we call a swap, I had just finished Play With Fire, and I said, this would be great for him to get on, and I wanted it to be something different than what he always, you know, raps on, you know, his own material. And then, of course, you know, the respect level is definitely on a different level, and I thought that he would get the story instantly. And he took it to an even deeper place. To me, the song is better because he's on it, because he took it to the whole New Orleans thing, and that is his legacy. And they did lose family, and the tragedy of family loss, and how, you know, separation can come from money, separation can come because you don't listen to what your mama says. And I think he got the picture straight away. I didn't have to coach him or say, oh, Lil Wayne, this is what the song is about. I just sent it to him, and he got it instantly, you know. And that's the beauty of true creativity, you know, when you allow
Absolutely.
A person to interpret. Because if it had been far out and I wasn't in agreement with it, rather than have him do it over, I probably would have just left it off. But he got it instantly, and it's amazing.
Yes, he is an amazing artist as well, so you're absolutely right. I mean, the combination of it, too, is like it also kind of gives me that grapes of the wine theory too, because of the combination coming out of the norm, the bitter, the sweet, you know, all of that good stuff in between with the combination of you and Lil Wayne, so to speak.
Yeah, well, a lot of people don't know that we're really very much alike. There may be a lot of dissimilarity, but with any creative person, you're going to find a common denominator. I think I'm a lot like Puff. I think I'm a lot like Beyonce. I think that all of us are intertwined, the ones that have come and even gone on before us. I think my work ethic is a lot like Beyonce, because she will sing until she gets it right. And I'm like that. I just, you know, I refuse to give up on anything. And after working with her in the studio, and even Jennifer Lopez, some people just have that tenacity to just stay there until, you know, they get their point across, whatever it is. Some may be more gifted than others, but it's all about the tenacity, you know, and your willingness to keep doing it until it is the whatever you are trying to achieve. In other words, if you want to sound like a rocket, then make the rocket sound. If you want to sound like a little girl, stay till you get the little girl sound. But, you know, they never give up. And that's what I love about him, is his stick-to-itiveness and his tenacity to win.
Absolutely. So you were only 3 years old when the Echoes of Joy was formed. How did you contribute to the group?
No, actually, the Echoes of Joy was in existence far before I was born. I began to sing along with them in the studio when I was two, but I began to do the live performances by the time I was three. And we had been doing the, you know, on the street, like the busking type of singing, but actually going to the rehearsal halls and getting a real show down and working in the Longshoremen's Hall and all of the different churches up and down the state of Florida. Yeah, I was maybe almost three then. But, yeah, I was recording before that, yes.
I know. And, you know, so many people, Ms. Wright says, oh, you know, I've been singing and dancing since I was three, since I came out of the womb, you know, as many interviews
as I've had. It's a very simple thing. It's a very simple thing. It's what you are around. Some people, the first word they say is daddy. Some people, the first word they say is mama. But a lot of times the first thing that you can remember is singing. And I can distinctly remember my eldest daughter, Aisha, singing to the melody of the little mobile, you know, that you put on the crib, and it just goes and plays a little song. She was humming to it. She couldn't have been 4 months old. I'm saying closer to 3 months old, just humming whatever it played. She had one little piece in there that she had exactly, and she would just sing that. I would bring everybody in there to see the baby like she was on parade. And one of the guys that performed with the group, Foxy, is just come in and tell us another amazing baby story, because I was talking to her. I said, no, you got to see this. You got to hear this, you know. So I think it's whatever they're, you know, around.
Yeah, definitely. I love that. It's so cute, though, because it's just like one of those things, like, look at my baby, look at my baby. Did she do it every time, or was it like one of those moments where it was
something
like
that she did, and it was if you laid her in the crib, she was waiting on it. She was anticipating you turning it on, and then you would see her eyes just light up, and she'd wait for that little part that she knew, and she would sing it. Yeah.
That is so cute.
Well, that's before talk. That was before any kind of cooing and talking. So I just think that kids that are born into these families that are, you know, bona fide, certified singers, and everybody around you is singing and playing an instrument, you do start off faster. Or even you grow to hate it, like back all the way up off of it, because you get sick of it. Because I never thought I was going to be a singer. I thought I was going to be a phys ed instructor or a lawyer, something else, because we had to sing all the time, so it was more like a job. But I ended up really, really gravitating towards the writing. So the singing became the vehicle to take my writing, you know. So I always tell people I'm a songwriter-singer, whereas other people may be singer-songwriters. I can write in my sleep. You know, I figure like some days I can sing and some days I can't, but I can always communicate. You know, I'm not trying to get 900 riffs in my voice. I just, as long as you understand what I'm saying, you know, I'm not trying to do vocal gymnastics. You know, those are some things that I can do because I've sung long enough to know all the tricks. but I'm more interested in communicating, you know, and I can do that talking through a song, which, as you know, I have done many times.
Yes, and I know that I love every time you do it, because I was like, this morning and this afternoon, that's all I kept doing. It's just like, you know, when you said your mom was like, I know you're not going to sing that song.
Right, right. And people evidently like it, so they sample it all over. It always in everybody's record.
Yeah, you're amazing. So you started out so young. So what were some of the challenges you faced starting out such a young age?
Well, I just think I didn't know if I would ever have an identity as a singer, because my brothers and my sister, I just thought they all sang so much better than me. But because I was a baby, people would always say, okay, let the baby sing, you know. And it was more so, well, the baby is singing so loud, please let her hurry up and come to the front, you know, so we can at least hear the harmony, because I just was like Master Blaster. And I think that encouraged me more than anything to be out front, whereas all of my brothers, who I think are extremely prolific at what they do and at instruments, and my sister, I just think they were just more mild-mannered than me. I was like crazy, you know. I would sing on top of a garbage can in the backyard. I would sing to anybody who would listen to. Didn't matter if you wanted to hear it or not. I would get out on the swing, on the playground, the jungle gym, merry-go-round. I would sing in the projects. I was known for having a little show in the backyard, a show on in the front side of the sidewalk, and charge money. As a little girl, give me a quarter, and I'll sing. I mean, just always, you know, had it in my heart to, you know, make people laugh and make people enjoy life. And I don't think it was so much the singing as it was performance. I didn't care whether I was doing a cartwheel, singing, writing, saying a poem, dancing, whatever it was, class clown, just making people smile and entertaining. So I always say I'm an entertainer, and yes, I'm a songwriter, singer. I rarely just say, oh, I'm a singer, you know, but, you know, anything that has to do with warming the heart and wrapping my arms around someone without even touching them through a few melodies or through a few bars of music, yeah, that's what I do.
Absolutely, you sure do. So speaking of, you know, one of my favorites, Tonight is the Night, you said you were reluctant to, you know, like, record it. What made you decide to just go for it?
I was very reluctant. I was very reluctant because at my age, I didn't know how it was going to be taken. I had already had quite a few run-ins in my career because I was singing all these, you know, I was singing grown-up woman songs from when I was 12, and a lot of times people would call me on that. What do you know about that song? And truly, without knowing, I would pretend to know, oh, girl, you know, I was so grown, I could just make up any kind of story. And even in Tonight is the Night, and I hate to burst this big bubble that everybody has, but, baby, I was too smart to do that in my mama's house. I'm very sorry. I took all the stories that girls were telling me, and I created what I think the most plausible, the most believable scenario for Making Love the First Time. So when they hear the song, the connection was every woman. It was every girl connecting to it, because it was either them or their cousin or somebody that tried to do that in their house. And when I wrote the song, my mom never said, is that about you or whatever. I just think she didn't like what I was writing because of the nature of it, because absolutely it was a situation where in my household, which was a Christian household, we didn't want to talk about anything like that, you know, about somebody having a relationship that became sexual and it was outside of marriage. But what we have learned, you know, what is traditional has almost gone out of the window, because as we live life, we learn that we have to accept a lot of things about people because there are flaws, and there are mistakes that we're going to make. And God saw those mistakes before we even got to that valley. He saw us before we got to that trench. But he is a God of forgiving. And in the song I said, let's just pray that true love is what we found. It's not just to commit an act and then just keep on doing this over and over and over again and trying to make wrong be right. But it was saying, if you have done wrong, then look, let's try to get it right. And I think my mom, just being who she was and the era she came up in, she was a no-nonsense, no-compromise, and there's nothing wrong with that. At that age, I was just very rebellious. So when I put the song out, I don't know if I put it out because I thought it was a hit or I put it out from rebellion, but for whatever reason, I know that it sold millions and millions of records, and people identify very much with that song because it was a passionate song. It was an honest song about an era. You know, it was an honest song about making a mistake and maybe doing something at an early age or doing something before you were married. But for whatever reason, that song connected with the hearts of man. And a lot of people identify with it because it helped them to get right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, this is just one of my absolute favorites. It really is. And like you said, again, you know, a lot of people resonated with it. And the reception behind that particular track was crazy because, it, you know, it sold of so many records. It's unbelievable. But, you know, I love it. And I still love it to this day. It's just like one of those songs, or maybe all of your songs, maybe because I'm such a fan. And I don't say that, Miss Wright, just to let you know. I refuse to let people call me their fan, but... But I'm definitely your fan, and, yeah, that's one of my favorite songs. So when you started Ms. B Records, was it the intention of just releasing your own music, or did you know you wanted to work with other artists at that particular time?
Well, I always knew I wanted to work with other artists, but the inception of Ms. B Records was because nobody would sign me and let me be me. They always tried to change my mode of music. They always tried to make me do everything that they wanted for me to do. And they had ideas that were not in my vision at all. And one thing that I did know is there was X amount of things I would do. And I had already been through a record company where people had all of our publishing. I mean, that really robbed us blind. So I just decided that, you know, if I'm going to do bad, I could do bad all by myself. You know, so let me just try and put this label out and see what it can be. I actually drew the first version of the label way, I think, like 1979. But I actually didn't put it to use until 85. There's a lot of mistakes I made. And when I say mistakes I made, when the record company that I was with filed bankruptcy, and I had heard rumors that they were, but they filed bankruptcy in New York, and we were in Miami, sitting around like little chickens with our head cut off, didn't know that the company was even gone. So, you know, you start scrambling. You try to find a new home. And everywhere that I went, it just seemed that people were going to, you know, handle me. I did a couple of years at Sony, which at that time was just Epic Records. I don't even think they had the name Sony. I think they were still like CBS, and got stuck at the same label where Thriller came out. So you know the history of that is it became the biggest record ever. So my album, they don't even remember that I had a record out, which was produced by Michael Jackson's brother Marlon. Incredible album, but nobody ever knew because it came out during Thriller time. So I got like swallowed like Pac-Man ate me, you know. And then after that, I think I put out one, like, disco record or two, and then I formed Ms. B. So it was just, you know, out of necessity. And then as far as other artists, I was one of the people that I really liked, and I said, man, that's somebody I would, you know, put a record out on. And I called Ramsey, who I guess must have sounded too much like Luther Vandross, so we, you know, couldn't get arrested with his records. He would just... awesome, awesome singer, but he sounded so much like Luther. And at that time, Luther was, you know, rocking the radio. And even to this day, when I hear him sing, that's all I hear is Luther, you know, his voice. And I had a couple of other artists, you know, during the years. And then I kind of got to the point where just even trying to put out a record, you know, became a tedious thing because I'm still touring. But what I do is I kind of collaborate I still do the label. But when someone wants to come and wants, you know, to team up with me, we will do it together. I'm not really trying to be like Motown or anything like that. I don't have that kind of, I don't even say energy, but I don't know if that's what my calling is, because I think I'm a little too nice for that, because I know if artists got disgruntled with me, I'll just say, okay, you can leave. You know, if you don't want to be here, bye. And I guess that's not good business sense. But I do have a very solid foundation when it comes to music, and I am kind of enveloping myself with a lot of people that do have skills, and maybe Miss B will be one day like one of those Motown-type companies, but that did it right and treated people right, but did do artist development, didn't just send people out on the stage when they were punch drunk or auto-tuned, and really helped to shape some vocals that could stand flat-footed in a stadium and sing the Star Spangled Banner and make you proud. And that's the real testing ground. I tell anybody, you can do a lot of things, but I want to hear you sing the Star Spangled Banner, and I don't want to hear it with a track. Just sing it for me. And if you can do that, then and you trying to be a singer, then that's me. Know what time it is with you.
Absolutely. So that kind of like answered my next question that I had in mind for you. And that was basically, you know, you hold the title as the only woman to have a gold album on her own record label. Am I correct?
First.
Yes.
Because after that, of course, the Queen Latifah and people like that. Yeah, I think, of course, you know, Sylvia Robinson, but she was in business with her husband. So, yeah, I would have to say that's what I'm told. And,
right.
And so far as singer, songwriter, producer, everything, publisher, yeah, I would have to say, yeah, I was the first.
Yes, and that's amazing.
Yes,
amazing. And, you know, I couldn't say congrats then, but congrats now. And, you know, why do you think women, you know, are so reluctant to start their own record labels? And
because
what
they
advice
get a lot of, well, mm-hmm. they're not necessarily negligent or anything. It's just really been a man's world. And up until recently, I mean, I think yesterday on the news I saw that now women can play in the Masters. And I was like, okay, you know, because I just had that conversation with my partner, Angelo Morris, who is an avid golfer, and asked him, do women play in Augusta for the Masters? And he said, no. And I was like, why? You know, I want to know why. So now I think they just changed the law someday this week. So I think we just are always carrying people on our backs, and sometimes we forget that we need to be carried sometime. And when it comes to business, sometimes we will bow out just because we want to make a man look good, and sometimes that's not the right position. Sometimes if we know how to do it better, we ought to just do it and help them along, you know, to do this with us. And I think it is a male-dominant situation, and, of course, you know, President Obama took care of part of that because there are a lot of jobs that are in the industry that women were getting much less, you know, for and doing the same job and getting 70% of what a man is getting. And I'm sorry, if I go to work hard as I work on stage, I'm sorry. I've had many run-ins with promoters that think that they're going to pay me like they're paying a girl, meaning, oh, well, you know, you guys are going to take care of you. You're a girl, like your husband will take care of you. No, you pay me what I'm worth. Don't start with the, like, you're going to get the okey-doke. Don't start with that, I'm a girl thing. Because if I'm doing the job, then I'm doing the job. I'm not coming in here to do the job as a female or a male. I'm coming in here to do the job as a competent person, as an able-bodied being to do the job. And if I get the job done, just pay me what the job is worth. And stop trying to make me sign an F on an application just so you know you could pay me less. And say, oh, that's female, so I'm going to just give her whatever. No, because I don't roll like that. You know? I'm not a male basher, but I do believe in getting what I'm due. And I think that on a respect level, I don't even need that. Because I say something that was told to me one day by a very wise man. If you can respect them, you can disrespect them. So they either have to love me or get away from around me. I don't even need the in-between. Just love me or don't love me. Just, you know, understand that this is the way I am. I love God. You're not going to make me stop talking about God. You're not going to make me stop loving Jesus, you know, to be your friend. But I love everybody. But I do respect, what do you say? I respect my rules, and I respect your rules. But insofar as the person, I love the person. And if I find that there's anything in them that is getting on my nerves too bad, then I just, you know, back away so that I can continue loving them. Because that doesn't mean I have to like them.
Amen. That's oh my God. You just gave me chills, Ms. Wright, because it's so real. And I think that just the way you conveyed it, you know, you just set me straight. And I know a lot of people that are tuned
sometimes
in.
You just can't get along with people. Sometimes right. You can't get along with them because you're so different or you're so alike. But rather than become an enemy, just back away. Just back away. It's okay. The Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And some people just they wake up in the morning to see what they can do to you. And that's sad, but they do. And then there's some people that wake up in the morning and see what they can do for you. So make sure your top five are people that are like-minded, people that, you know, are gravitating towards that positivity, that nurturing spirit, that spirit of, hey, legacy. Let's help somebody. Let's move something. Let's help some kids. Let's give to somebody we don't know. Let's pay it forward. Let's do some charity work. You know, I mean, that's what it's all about. It's really not about us at the end of the day. It's really about what we are leaving, what we are giving back.
Absolutely. I agree 110%. So in November, you released the album, Betty Wright, the Movie. What was it like working with the Roots Band? And what is the concept behind the music? Is it all, like, stories of your life or things, compilation of different experiences from other people as well?
Well, that's a very loaded set of questions, because actually the Betty Wright the Movie was a brainchild that took about 7 years in my head to actually be birthed. And the situation of being able to do this album with the Roots came about as an idea. Doing a collaboration with the label S-Curve, where he had an idea to put me together with Quest to maybe do the project. And they rode home together, I guess, from the Grammys, and we had just done the Roots Grammy, the Grammy Jam, and hit it off, and Jimmy Fallon, you know, actually invited us to come and sit in with him. And you know, I still to this day I'm in wonderment, because, you know, things happen sometimes to me that are so spectacular that if I tell the story, people will say, oh, no, that can't be. But in losing that particular year, I had out a song called Go. It was before the album was released. In losing, I happened to congratulate Quest at the door and then walk a few more feet and turn around and tell the whole band, yeah, it took 10 of y'all to beat me, and just make them laugh. And so really, out of losing and kicking it with them, it kind of like set the stage for us all winning together, which the album came out in November of last year, and unfortunately, their album came out right in December, and it kind of like came out at the same time, sort of. So I kind of like backed down and have just re-released my album, because a lot of people were saying it was very confusing, because, you know, the two projects, and one was Betty Wright and the Roots and the other one was the Roots. And, you know, with all due respect, I kind of took a low side, because I do know the thing about songs. When they are songs, they last forever. And it really doesn't matter when that Betty Wright, the Movie, gets to be a hit. Could be this year, could be 10 years from now. It is a hit album, meaning it's full of hit songs. And I've been around long enough to know a hit when I hear it. And I haven't even gone for radio ads. So it's one of those I'm just kind of like watching the climate and trying to see what is the best song to release. What is the best song? Because I think of it as medicine. And insofar as working with them, it was awesome because Quest is, he is a phenomenon. He has a lock and load theory to music, very unusual for me because I'm used to playing with bands where the drummer, you know, takes big solo centers of songs and lots of different kinds of ways to play. But he's like a metronome. And watching him play, there's a beauty and a grace to what he does and watching what he does with a song. So I brought all of these songs that I thought were already finished and started this project and then learned that there is a deeper depth and a higher height. So I loved, you know, the creativity, you know, the artistry of the Roots. And I think when you listen to this album, everybody that participated. I had Snoop already. I already had Lil Wayne and Joss Stone and all of those songs. When you hear them, it was so enhanced by what Quest could bring to the table. Now, the particular song, if you don't hear Quest on it, he didn't get back from Switzerland in time to play on a couple of songs, but the whole, you know, the kinetic, just the way, you know, you lay a battery on a table and it's just potential, but that kinetic part was the joining of us together. We were like a battery for each other, and I'm very blessed. I'm blessed that young people even reach out for us. Even though they call us legends or whatever, you know, they still don't have to reach out for you. So it's the blessings of God, you know, that people do still reach out for us. And I thank all my babies that came and helped me out. And hopefully, you know, one day when this record gets really promoted and pushed to that level, that people get to hear it and it will be that hit and everybody can really prosper through it. And maybe we could, you know, do some performances together.
Absolutely. So speaking of Joss Stone, she was one of the things I wanted to touch on too. Well, not things, but people. Whisper in the Wind is my absolute favorite, and I love Joss Stone. So what inspired you to write that track?
Well, Whisper in the Wind, my partner, Angela, was playing this really sweet melody on the keyboard, and I loved it. And that's what it spoke to me. And it sounds so whispery. So when I started to write the song, I was thinking, what could we do together? And we were always threatening to do a duet, and I thought that this one would be perfect. And I think it was around her birthday, and we were going to go to England and surprise her, and we ended up getting a chance to do the vocals. And I guess by the time she heard the record, she was probably like, what is this? Because we changed the music so many times, but always to enhance what our vocals were doing. And I told her, I said, listen, I've already written a second verse, but I'm going to take my verse out and you write the verse. And this is what the story is. So she did an excellent job. And she has a remarkable voice. And, you know, she's grown a lot. She's grown from that little 14 and a half, 15-year-old when I first met her to a beautiful lady. And hopefully, you know, you'll be hearing, you know, lots and lots of these young people that I've mentored and come into their lives as they're growing and growing up and growing out, you know, and that when we do leave, that we leave a legacy.
Absolutely. Well, you are like everything plus a legacy in itself, just you as an individual. Like, there's really no words because I was really trying to think about it. I said, you know, I have all my questions and, you know, I know I'm not going to get them all in, but the point being is that, you know, just being able to have the opportunity to just engage with you, it speaks in so much profound volume that, you know, I just feel like on the verge of like just crying, like, yay, this is really happening, and just, you know, soaking it all in and wishing that I wasn't the one asking the questions so I could be the one listening and absorbing, but I will because it will be on demand. This interview will be able to be on demand. But before I let you go, Ms. Wright, I just wanted to, you know, embrace if there's anything that we can do to help in any way that we can, we will definitely be, yes, we'll promote it and we'll put it in rotation.
Yeah, let them know that it's available, and it's called Betty Wright the Movie. It's Betty Wright in the Roots. And the most outstanding thing, and of course, you know, it's got all these outstanding people on it, but I think the songs speak for themselves, and when you listen, each song can help you get from Monday to Tuesday, Tuesday to Wednesday, and you look around, boy, it's the beginning of the week again. So I think that there are songs on this album that help you with finance, You and Me, Leroy, which is a song written by The Roots and I, and I tell you, you know, even my son-in-law says to me, that's his song, You and Me, Leroy, because when the bills are high and you don't know what to do, then you think about, but gosh, I look at my kids and you look at your spouse and you say, but I'm really rich because look at what I really have. Because rich folks don't have this. They're miserable, some of them. You know, go in love for about a half a minute and next week you're with somebody else. But people that have really decided, you know what, we're doing life together. Guess what? Good, bad, and ugly. Yeah, and me and you. So when you listen to these songs, I think that you can definitely tune into yourself, you tune into family, you tune into life itself, and it is about relationships, it's about what not to do, it's about what to do. It's always advice, and I think I tweeted it the other day. Expression, there's confession, there's lessons, and there's definitely blessings. So I think if anything, just share the music with anybody that you can let know that Betty Wright, the movie, is on sale on iTunes and I think Best Buy and a few of those fine stores, and let's get it cranking, and let's let people know that it's out there, because the industry is very difficult now, and especially for people that are not doing what you call mainstream and trying to be techno and trying to be cookie cutter, but those of us that have opted to stay true to rhythm and blues, you know, they don't have a lot of stations that play what we sing, but nevertheless, there is a great appetite for it. They just don't know they have that appetite yet. So once they hear it, then they'll know.
Absolutely. So we have people in the chat room, and they said that it was a great interview and that they live on iTunes, so they're definitely going to be tuning into that. And, you know, this is the whole point of, you know, reaching out to amazing people like you, Ms. Wright, because I think that people should know. For those that don't, now they should know, and they will. So I'm just, you know, privileged once again to have the opportunity to have your presence on the show and to, you know,
thank you.
Us down your journey. Because
and I'm
simple,
also
mm-hmm.
on Twitter. Yeah,
yes,
on Twitter,
and she's on Twitter.
Ms. Betty Wright. Because there's some school teacher, I think, in Maine that beat me to my name in 2007. So that's her real name. So, hey, it is what it is.
Yeah, definitely. So I've put it in the chat room, Miss MSBETTRWRIGHT. And,
right,
and you know.
Be on the lookout for a lot of my acts. We call mm-hmm. our songwriting camp The Most, which is Mountainous Songs Today equals Mountainous Stars Tomorrow. So be on the lookout, and we will soon be coming to a TV station near you.
Yay, that is so exciting. You are amazing, and I really, really appreciate you. Is there any other, you know, words of wisdom or any other things that you want to put out there before I let you go?
I just want to say to everybody that either is trying to do any kind of music, remember the greatest gift is, you know, love. And if you can do that and use the vehicle music to do that, that will help you get closer to God and keep God first, because he is the giver of every perfect gift.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Ms. Wright. Thank you so much for making my year.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I'll stay in tune, and I'm supporting from here on out. And I just hope that we can keep an interaction because I want to be a Miss Betty Wright baby too.
All right, now. Okay, well, you know, you got the number, and you know, just tweet me, and we can DM, and if you have any questions. And do you have the contact for my daughter, Patricia?
I do.
I think she's been, okay,
yes,
great.
Yes, she
All
and
right.
I have been going back and forth, and she's just lovely. Beautiful
she
person.
Is.
And
she
and
is
I keep
that.
Emailing her hugs, and she puts smiley face hugs back.
Yeah, she's definitely one of those people. I thank God all my kids, all of the kids say that about her. She's very angelic. Yeah, she's very angelic.
Yes, and we can see why. You're the mommy.
Well, bless the Lord.
So thank you
all
so
righty.
Much.
Well, you
have a good
day.
Night. You too.
Thank you. Be blessed.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye. You too. Yay, guys, so that was Ms. Wright, and I'm just super, super stoked, and, you know, I'm going to be tweeting that I'm Miss Betty's Wright new baby, so yeah, get used to seeing that on Twitter, because that's all about to happen. You know, I must say that this is the first interview that I have done for all those who tune in on a regular basis where I was just, like, fan mode. For real, because you guys know that I always be like, no, I'm no one's fan. Like, I'm so against that term, period. But when it comes to amazing people like Miss Betty Wright, Miss Stephanie Mills, and, you know, LaVert, and, you know, people that have put these cobblestones down for all of the people that's out here, including myself in entertainment, that's, you know, paving the way. They paved the way for us to walk down this road. So I think that when it comes down to the Intune show and the theme behind the Intune show is just really putting people in tune with what was happening in life before we were even thought about, so to speak, or before we even knew that this is something that we wanted to do in our lives, to be entertainers, to be songwriters, to be engineers, or et cetera. She is one of the first people that have done amazing things. So when people are like, oh, I want to hear, you know, people that's more current, when you don't tune into these interviews, it's your loss. You're missing out. Get in tune to the people that were here. Like, you know, Miss E said on her interview last night, you know, she said that she was raised by Stevie Wonder. And at first I was like, huh? But I get it. We were raised by amazing people like Miss Betty Wright, by Miss Stephanie Mills, by Mr. Stevie Wonder, by, you know, Miss Whitney Houston, by Mr. Michael Jackson. We grew up listening to them. So basically their music is what made us, inspired us, you know, added to, flavor to our life. So when I have people like her on, it's more than an honor to be able to gain from them, because this is where music started, so to speak, in my life for me. So I like to resonate with things that resonate with me, and I hope that when you guys are in tune to these interviews that you're gaining, because I am gaining, and I take everything that I can from the amazing people that I talk to and try to implement words of wisdom or their life's experience into my life. You know, not to say every day is going to be a good day, like she said, but the name of the song, you know, Grapes on a Vine, is just saying the bitter with the sweet. That's how life gives it to you. So I know I told you guys earlier that I was going to play Tonight Again by Miss Betty Wright. And the system, as Miss Wright said, it does nothing happens without a purpose, played Real Woman. So I think we're going to go into it now and play Tonight Again by Miss Betty Wright. I just want to thank you all for tuning in with me. It's always an experience and it's always a pleasure. Be absolutely sure to tune in tomorrow with Dr. Sue and I, because we are turning Shock the Doc into an empowerment movement. So definitely be in tune for that, 10 p.m. Eastern. And if all those that, you know, can't be in front of a computer, it's A-okay, because our shows are always on demand, or you can call right from your mobile device at 818-495-6975. Without further ado, make sure you go out there and support Ms. Betty Wright on iTunes, Betty Wright the Movie. She has a ton of amazing people that she worked with, and, you know, the list goes on and on as she put out there. So support, support, support is everything. And get in tune with Tonight Again by Miss Betty Wright. You guys have a good night. Until tomorrow, stay in tuned.
Okay, okay. Grown folks music being played right now. Put children in bed. right. This song goes out to all of you that blame every child you ever had on me. I know, because I meet all these little kids named Betty Wright. After tonight is tonight. Light up a candle. We got business to handle. It feels time. Tonight again. Light up a candle. We got business to handle. It feels time. Tonight again. We've been taking it kind of slow. Cause we wanna be sure how far we should go. Oh, said I wanna know. Scared.
I'm in tune, 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 in tune